Welcome back, everyone. Today is Monday, December the 5th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah, anything you'd like to write in and suggest that we talk about, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation in the airwaves by supporting this podcast. You can visit us online, leave us a good review on iTunes, and just help keep the discussion of Jesus Christ in the airwaves as long as we possibly can.
That's right. So helpful to leave those ratings and reviews on those podcasting platforms. So make sure if you haven't done so yet that you do that and you invite your friends and family to do the same.
Amen. You want to hit them with the verse of the day?
It is time for the verse
of
the day.
Let's do it.
The verse of the day today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That is a really beautiful verse. And it reminds me that there's all sorts of things that I can control in life. And there's some things that I just can't control. And that is where faith comes in. You know, it's something that we try desperately, I think, as humans to cling to rather than just let go and let God work through those moments that need our faith.
Absolutely. And faith isn't something that you like summon or muster up. It's something that God develops in you. So if you're struggling in that area, pray and ask God to help develop that faith that trusts without having that visual proof.
That's true. And that's difficult because that's not a discipline that we can just get better. I can't get better at having the faith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get more faithful.
Yeah, I just have to mean it hard. It's the same thing I tell the worship team all the time here at Clearview Church. I'm not asking you to mean the songs harder. You can't will yourself into worshiping. It's something that God works in you if you're obedient to Him and you do have that faith. Do you want to tell them? I know we kind of had some things we were going to talk about, but you and I were talking earlier and you were telling me about that that story that where you got lost skiing in the mountains. Yeah. Do you want to tell that?
Sure. So
I thought that'd be good podcast fodder.
Yeah, absolutely. So back years and years ago when I was a teenager in youth group, I was about 14 years old, and our youth group went on a ski trip to West Virginia. There's a ski resort up there. We had a blast. It was a great time. Loved it. Loved going skiing. And my dad went as one of the chaperones. And for him and I both, this was our first time skiing. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in Charleston, and you know, if we see two snowflakes every 5 years, that's a major thing.
Yeah, that's like a white Christmas.
Right, exactly. Wow. So to go skiing was like a dream come true. So we're learning how to ski, and we're, you know, falling a lot, but we're having a good time. And as you ski down the mountain, there was this route that we had developed where you spend a lot of time on the green slopes, the easy slopes, for like easy difficulty. But I was supposed to take a turn, and I missed that turn, and I skied down further than I meant to.
So are you alone at this point?
I have been separated from the pack because you're downhill going on skis. So there isn't like, oh, let me stop real quick and turn around.
Right.
It's just,
you're not stopping.
We're going down the mountain now.
Okay.
So I get to the bottom of the mountain, and I'm 14 years old, don't have a cell phone. I'm separated from my dad.
What's the year?
Gosh, I have 14.
What year were you born?
88.
What's 88 plus 14? This is in 2002.
Yeah, 2002. Okay, I don't have a cell phone.
Oh no!
So at the bottom of the mountain, and I'm like, I'm separated from my dad. I don't know what to do. I've never been here before. I don't know the layout of the mountain. I don't have a map on me. I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point. So my now 14-year-old brain.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm like, well, the snow is packed down pretty tight, so I'm just going to take my skis off and try to walk back up the slope that I slid down because it's not very steep.
Are you in the woods or is it pretty open?
It's pretty open.
Okay.
It's pretty open.
But you are alone.
Yes. I mean, there's hundreds of other people there.
But nobody that you know.
But no one that I know.
Okay.
So I try to walk back up the mountain. Does not work. It's very difficult to walk up a snowy mountain in ski boots.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, put my skis back on, ski back down, take the lift back up. Lift goes to a different place.
Oh, no.
Different route. I'm separated from my dad. No idea. Now, 34-year-old Ryan, had I had this mind, I would have been like, oh, our group is set up in the ski lodge. I'm just going to go to the ski lodge and just wait.
Right.
14-year-old Ryan did not have that
thought. He's like, I got to solve this now.
Right.
And
the first thing I think of
is the solution.
Yes. Yeah. I have to catch it to my dad. So I spent, it felt like hours and hours. It was, realistically, it was probably about 2.5, maybe 3 hours, which is a long time.
Wow.
But it wasn't like, I wasn't out there like in the elements for hours and hours.
Yeah.
So
was your dad cool when you found you, or was he like, hey, this was
bad? He and I were both pretty stressed.
Okay.
So I eventually, through like trying to ski around trying to figure it out, I was like, you know what, I guess I'll just go back to the lodge and just hope for the best. Uh-huh. Just wait. Uh-huh. So I walk into the lodge and I walk in and I see my dad like facing away from me walking down the hallway, and I'm like, Dad! And I run and I give him a hug and I'm like, I've been found. This is what the prodigal son found. Felt like, I've been found. I was lost, but now I was found.
I've come back home.
I know.
Papa, take me into your arms.
So we went back to the lodge, sat down, got warm, ate a slice of pizza, and it was all fine from there.
So I guess the big thing I'm wondering now is like, when does that panic set in? Like you get separated, because I've done that kind of thing too.
Yeah.
As a kid, where it's like, oh, haha, this is funny. I'll see my mom in a second, and then it's like, all right, now I think this really might be real.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, good, this is real. Like, well, this is real.
So it was, the panic set in, I would say within probably 10 to 15 minutes. Uh-huh. I was pretty stressed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because my dad was a novice skier as well. Uh-huh. Now, he's an adult, so he's a little bit more capable than I am, but
right,
he's a novice skier. So if he's skiing around trying to look for me, I'm like,
yeah,
what if he fell off the mountain?
Wow. Like, and what if he fell off the mountain?
There was no guardrail. I mean, just off the side of the mountain. So, and it wasn't like I could call him on a cell phone. It wasn't like, yeah, in the mall, like you get separated and you haven't paged him over the intercom. Yeah. You're on the side of
this
the mountain.
This is on mountain. That's
so
true.
It was pretty stressful pretty, wow, quickly for 14-year-old Ryan. But all that to say, we went skiing again next year.
Wow, that's crazy. Well,
it all worked out fine, but that little panic is still there from time to time.
I can imagine.
So with, you know, talking about snow, talking about the winter, we're going through our series in December as we're approaching Christmas, and we're talking about how Jesus, today, we're talking about how Jesus is our shepherd king. That imagery is something that most of us are familiar with, but what exactly does it imply that Jesus is a shepherd king? That's very important. And we're going to bring Dr. Shaw in a minute to talk about that, but if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey there, listeners. My name is Kelsey.
And I'm John.
And we want to pause the show for just a second to talk to you guys about Clearview Church's original EP, Together Forward.
Yeah, these are five original songs that we wrote right here at Clearview Church. Myself, Dr. Shaw, David Williamson, our engineer on the Clearview Today show, some of the other guys on the worship team. But sometime during all the shutdowns of 2020, we noticed this really horrible isolationism setting in all over the world.
It was like nothing we've ever seen before.
That's right. And one of the things that we've always been about here at Clearview is forward motion and community. Those are both very important. So the whole heart behind the EP was, hey, let's just take these two things and let's put them together, because we truly feel like that's the antidote to what's happening in the world today.
We're right in the middle of writing a whole bunch of new material as a church, but while all of those projects are still in the works, we want to help point you guys towards these songs that God has given us. You can listen to all of them right now on Spotify. Just look up Clearview Worship. Or if you want to support what we're doing here at Clearview Church, you can buy it on iTunes right now.
And always remember, you can support us directly at the Clearview Today Show by visiting us online at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. Thanks for listening. We hope these songs are as much a blessing to you as they were for us.
Amen. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shaw, happy Monday to you today. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, and it's coming closer and closer to Christmas, so I'm really excited. Yes, I know you're excited.
I am very excited. Christmas is my absolute favorite thing in the world. I don't know if you guys know that, if you haven't been tracking with episodes. But in case you're dropping in for the first time, Christmas is the best.
Where would you
it's
say
my favorite?
Where would you say you are, Dr. Shaw, between Grinch on this extreme and like Ryan on this extreme?
I would say, with all the craziness in this world and life, you know, sometimes life just gets you. I would say I'd rather be near where Ryan's at. Yeah,
like
not even in the middle. I mean, middle is great. Middle is where I probably really am.
Yeah.
But if I were to choose a position, I would say might as well go be happy and, you know, enjoy life, love the Lord, and have a good time.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
There's plenty of craziness in this world.
love the Lord, worship God, put up your Christmas decorations.
That's it.
That's right.
So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you guys are joining us for the first time, you've never heard the show before, never followed Dr. Shah's work, Dr. Abaddon Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, an author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. And you can follow his work on his website, abaddonshah.com.
That's right. And speaking of his website, abaddonshah.com, we're going to be zeroing in on one of your previous messages today, Dr. Shah. You've talked, you know, we've talked about Christmas series before and how we handle different parts of the Christmas story, but you preached a message back in 2018, I believe it was. It was part of our Royal series, and this message was about Jesus being our Shepherd King. And those are two words that don't often get a lot of playtime together. What does that mean, that Jesus is our Shepherd King, and why is that important for us?
Well, you know, there are a lot of kings in this world. Now, some have been kind and gentle and truly care about their subjects, but most kings are somewhere between King Louis and Shere Khan.
Oh, I love it.
Very
I
nice
love the Jungle
Very
Book.
Deep
King
reference.
Louis, yeah. Because they're trying to have something they can't have.
Right.
What is it? Man's fire, mm-hmm. Right? He wants that. Or Shere Khan, where they are always living in fear and hate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of this man-child who's going to come and kill him,
right?
Or something like that. But then there is Jesus, our Shepherd King, who loves us and is willing to lay down his life for us.
Yeah.
Mm.
And when you're going through trials, difficult times, times of, you know, you may be in that hospital waiting room or in the hospital room, you're in the bed, mm-hmm. Or you're facing financial problems, or you're facing relationship struggles in your life, you know, to realize that you have a Shepherd King who takes care of you, who cares for you, who will lead you beside still waters, who will restore your soul, who will prepare a place, a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You know, that's a wonderful reminder, and we need to be reminded of that
mm-hmm.
almost every day. We have a Shepherd King. We don't have just a king. Some authoritarian king who just demands respect and demands taxes and demands whatever. Neither do we have a king who is just, you know, hands off, just whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, whatever you are. No, we have a king who is a Shepherd King who is very involved and vested in our lives. At the same time, he also disciplines us at times and loves us, cares for us, and will always fulfill his promises.
Yeah. I love that. I love that imagery that you bring up, because Jesus isn't just blindly ambitious. You know, mm. It's not just blind ambition for the sake of gaining power. The power was his before we ever came into the picture.
That's
the authority,
right.
And he was already the king, regardless of whether or not we were his subjects.
That's
I
right.
love that a lot.
That's right.
The thing about the shepherd, though, that gets me is that it almost seems odd to put those two words together.
Mm.
Because when I think of shepherds, typically what we think of is the lowly, the dirty, the kind of outcasts of society that are out in the fields and just tending sheep, and they're, I wouldn't say they're pariahs really, but they're they're servants. You know, that's typically what we think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure our listeners have heard that. I've heard that in messages before, where it's like the angels came to reveal this to even like the lowliest of us, like
right?
The common folk and stuff,
right? But you right. bring up an interesting point in your message that the Bible is actually filled with positive imagery,
absolutely,
where shepherds are concerned,
right? In fact, we have, you know, I think it's sometimes what happens is somebody starts some thought mm-hmm. or idea or a misconception, misrepresentation of history. So one we often hear is, you know, the whole idea of shepherd was foreign to ancient peoples. That's not true.
Right.
Like even the Sumerian gods, like Enlil, was known as faithful shepherds. The god Marduk, Babylonian god, was known as a shepherd to his people. Of course, in Mesopotamia, Enmerkar, the king of Uruk, was called a shepherd. This is about 2000 BC, about the time of Abraham. So also Hammurabi of Babylon was called a shepherd. When you go into Egypt, you know, they had this weird, Egypt is the most complex place, right? On one hand, they hate the serpent. On the other hand, they put it on Pharaoh's crown.
Right, right.
So also
doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so also when it comes to shepherds, it was an abomination for them. The shepherds were sort of an abomination. So, you know, remember when Joseph's brothers came and didn't know this was Joseph,
right?
That Joseph ate sort of separately from his brothers because Egyptians looked down on shepherds, I guess, right? Didn't have this this good view of shepherds. But at the same time, pharaohs are usually depicted, if you ever seen them, with a flail and the shepherd's crook.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait a minute.
They got the little...
Yeah. What just happened here? I thought you don't like shepherds. Well, we are shepherds to our people.
Huh.
So it's kind of a complex relationship. Also in Greece, we find the shepherd metaphor in the Iliad and the Odyssey. Mm. I say all that to say this. The idea of God being our shepherd was not something unique or new.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the Bible. I mean, think about some of the people that God called to be shepherds. You know, if you go to Genesis 49:24, Jacob blesses Joseph, saying the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel.
That's right.
So, positive imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Moses, you know, what is he doing in the backside of the desert? He is leading sheep. But then also, he describes God as a shepherd, setting his people free from Egypt. He says in Exodus 15:13, "You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." That's a shepherd imagery.
Wow.
Jeremiah, Micah, same thing. God is depicted as a gentle shepherd.
Yeah. Yeah, and so also in the Psalms. I mean,
in the Psalms as well. So much. Yep, exactly.
You know, that's. Oh, go ahead.
And I mean, how can you forget Psalm 23?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. We actually have introduced that as a worship song here at Clearview very recently, and it's just it's an amazing reminder, but it's also just an underlining of what God is doing all throughout His Word.
That's right.
Is that He's reminding us that He is the Good Shepherd, and He that's wants right. to lead us.
Can I read that song?
Yeah, please.
The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful?
I love the peace that psalm brings. It just kind of just, you can exhale knowing that your shepherd is caring for you.
That's true.
He's taking care of your needs.
That's
he's
very
meeting,
true.
He's meeting whatever it is that's in front of you.
I remember there was a funeral I went to as a kid. And I saw that. I saw a bunch of like my family who I knew good and well were not in church, but they knew that they could recite that psalm at the graveside just by memory. And it was just so, I think, ingrained in our minds. But I love that way that you said that it's an exhale.
You know,
there's a peace behind that psalm. And I don't know many other scriptures that have that very visceral reaction of everything's mm-hmm. going
to
be okay.
Yeah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
Right.
Not that He's forcing me, but there are times when you don't want to lie down. You have too much on your mind. You're too worried, too scared, too discouraged, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But He comes and says, lie down. And that He leads me beside the still waters, not some raging river, not some crashing waterfall, but still waters, mm-hmm. very peaceful, calm. And how does He do that? By reminding us of His promises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go through some difficult time and you feel, man, there's no way God is in this. How could God allow this?
Right.
God will send some promise, some assurance of His presence and His promise to take care of you. And God's peace comes over you. You still wish that circumstance would just disappear, right? Just kind of vanish, but it doesn't. And that's okay. Because God did not say, I will not allow trials to come into your life. He is going to walk with us through the trials. That's the Shepherd King.
That's right. I love that because it shows us that God is a God who guides and He protects and He provides just like a shepherd does. But I love even more that this is something that was promised, just like you said, Dr. Shaw. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. You got to mark that. This is something that was promise to us. I love that because it reminds us that not only is God our shepherd who guides us, but this is something that is promised to us. This is something that was promised even 800 years before Jesus came. I remember you said that in your sermon, that this is something that people were looking forward to the coming of the shepherd.
Right.
Right.
You know, this is a time period we're talking about when the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, was facing an attack from all sides. From the south, from Edom, the Edomites were coming against them. From the west, the Philistines of Philistia. From the north and the northeast was the northern kingdom of Israel. Your own brothers have turned against you. You know, that's when it hurts the most, right? You feel like, man, you're going to really pick up a knife against us. And then, of course, Syria to the north had built this, you know, unholy alliance with God's people to come against God's people. And instead of turning to God, the king of Judah decided to reach out to the Assyrians who were to the north of Syria. See, sometimes we have this idea that we're going to be shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be really smart. Let me show you how this is done. And that's like the famous last word in a Christian's life.
Yeah.
It may work out great in some lost person's life who's not going to heaven. But in a Christian's life, when we think, I got this one. I know how to do this.
I'm
going to finagle this one around. maybe a good point to just stop and go, stop, time out. Don't do that. Don't go there. And they did. They decided to make this pact with Assyria to the north of Syria and the kingdom of Israel, thinking if we get them, then they can put pressure from the north. We can put pressure from the south. Somehow we're going to win this one. And it backfires because it was foolish to look to them for help, because when they came down, when the Assyrians are different, by the way, from Syrians.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. There's a kingdom from the south, the west, and the north, but the ones in the north are not Assyrians.
Assyrians are different.
Okay, so they were Israel was under attack from the Syrians, so they went to the Assyrians for help.
Right.
Got you. Okay.
We're going to get help from people above you.
Got you.
Right? Because then they can put pressure from the top, then you will back away from us. But what they didn't realize is the Assyrians had zero sense of loyalty. So they came against Syria first,
right?
Then went against the northern kingdom, and then guess what? They came for the south.
Yeah,
just keep rolling right on through. We're already conquering. We might as well just keep on going.
Yeah, it's like Hitler making that peace pact when who's the prime minister of England who showed up and said, I signed the peace treaty. You know, that's what we have to do.
I just watched the oversimplified video on that like 2 days ago. Hold on.
But anyway, it's kind of funny because he came back holding that piece of paper and, you know, Churchill and others, I think, said, you know, that means nothing.
Yeah.
Hitler is not going to honor. Yeah, Chamberlain. That's right.
Yeah.
By the way, not Will. Chamberlain.
No, not Will Chamberlain. Yes, he was there, I think, but just wasn't. He was like dunking or dribbling or something in the background.
Maybe born at that time. But anyways, so the prime minister comes back with that, and it didn't mean a thing.
Yeah,
they didn't honor that.
He came back with the paper, and they were like, "Look, it's good." He's like, "Look, Hitler's invading over there."
Yeah,
he's like, "No, he's
just there."
He said he wouldn't. He's like, "Hey,
nothing new under the sun."
Where did he invade? Czechoslovakia. He's like, "This is mine."
Yeah,
this is mine.
I mean, so it tells you, you know, the Bible is so true because that's exactly what happened. Assyria came and destroyed the north, sent them into exile. And they never came back, right? Gone forever. And the next thing he did was he marched to the south, and it was by God's grace that the southern kingdom was spared, because the angel of the Lord went through the Assyrian camp and in just one sweep destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian troops in one night, right? And then comes the prophecy of Micah. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata," it means kind of there was two Bethlehems at the time. "You, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel." It means he will be the rightful king, "whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting." And then verse 4, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord."
Wow. So it's bringing that shepherd imagery back.
Right. You trusted in Assyria, you know what happened. Assyria is a wolf. You were afraid of Syria. Well, Syria is, you know, I don't know, a hyena, I guess. Yeah. I don't know which scavenger predator we need to go with here. But neither of them could help you. Right? And of course, the Northern Kingdom, your own brothers turn against you. But look, your shepherd is coming. And then it goes on to say, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide for now. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace when the Assyrian comes into our land. So then it happens, you know, we hear in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and on and on and on. So this was sort of a fulfillment of the prophecy that was made during the Assyrian onslaught.
Wow.
I love how that just picture of the shepherd comes full circle in the Bible. We have these shepherds all throughout the Old Testament, this idea of God raising up a shepherd for his people. We have the announcement of Jesus' birth to the shepherds, and then ultimately Jesus, of course, is our good shepherd. I love just how that hangs together. When you look at the entirety of Scripture, mm-hmm. God's word is just so beautiful.
And I also love the contrast of imagery of there, what God says a king is supposed to be. God is supposed to be this shepherd king, and the shepherd king is supposed to lead his people, guide his people, protect his people. And yet, you know, we get these kingdoms here on earth, and all these kings, like you said, are power hungry. They're conniving. They're trying to get around their problems by flexing their own muscles or making alliances with their enemies. And, you know, it just goes to show that God's idea for what a king should be, what a leader should be, is always going to come back to that imagery of the shepherd.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, if you guys enjoyed today's topic, the Shepherd King, if it's helped you think rightly about Christmas and what it is that we're celebrating, send us some suggestions. Send us your thoughts from today's episode. You can text us at 252-582-5028. You can also, of course, email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com, or make sure you're following along on any one of our social medias. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram.
Of our social medias? Did you say mediums or medias?
I think I said medias.
What? Social medias?
Social media platforms?
Yeah. Well, social medias. Well, okay. Now I feel like a
I don't know.
Chump.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, whatever you call those things.
My bad. Does anybody think
that
social media is weird?
I don't know.
Well, my bad.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find images for verses of the day that you can share with your friends and loved ones. You can also find the video podcast on Facebook as well.
That's right.
And don't forget that on our website, clearviewtodayshow.com, you can support us financially. Every gift that you give goes to making an impact for God's kingdom as we seek to build this partnership to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to end this episode off with a different thing that we've done before. We usually do last minute advice, but it was actually suggested by one of our listeners, Mr. Jim, who is right here in North Carolina, that we end on some of our favorite quotes.
I like that.
Things that have impacted us, different quotes that have stood out to us and kind of shaped the way that we think. So if it's okay with you guys, I have one that I'd like to share. That's all right.
I think that'll be fun.
Okay. So this is actually the quote that I used for my senior quote in the yearbook, my senior year of high school. It's from an Irish playwright named George Bernard Shaw. Okay. He's quoted as saying, "You see things and you say why, but I dream things that never were, and I say why not."
Wow.
Just kind of the possibility stuck out to me. And by that time, senior year of high school, I was kind of getting really heavily into like drama and acting and being on stage. So the fact that he was a playwright sort of drew me to that quote anyway. But just that idea of like, think outside of the realm of what is in front of you. Think beyond what is, you know, immediately visible, and just sort of dream in the realm of possibilities.
That's awesome. So I love that.
You can take that one and get it cross-stitched and put it up in your house.
Put it just right above. Take Meemaw's, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord."
Take that down. Well, Meemaw, you've had it there.
I don't know if George Bernard Shaw would agree with putting it right next to the Bible, because he was not a very, very good believer.
No,
I
don't believe
he was not. He was not, was it?
No, he was
not. But, you know, even a broke clock is right twice a day.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
Maybe we can find one more quote by him, but then we got to be done.
That's it. He's right out. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.